Prime Minister Ardern and I reviewed our excellent bilateral relations today. 3 years ago in this room, the two of us signed a joint declaration to establish an enhanced partnership between Singapore and New Zealand. It was a significant milestone for our bilateral cooperation. I'm very happy that all the initiatives under the enhanced partnership have made good progress. Our upgraded bilateral FTA came into force in January 2020. We've jointly funded research projects in data science and future foods. We've agreed to launch a new reciprocal working holiday scheme, that will allow young Singaporeans and New Zealanders to live and work in each other's countries for up to a year. Our cooperation has grown beyond the areas under the enhanced partnership. Together with Chile, we launched the Digital Economy Partnership Agreement, DEPA, the first agreement of its kind. The Prime Minister and I first mooted the idea when we met in November 2018, and I'm glad that DEPA has entered into force in January 2021. And now other countries have also asked to join, and we welcome their interest. We hope we'll be able to work together to advance a global digital economy. Today we are expanding our cooperation further by adding a new climate change and green economy pillar of the enhanced partnership. Climate change is the existential challenge of our times. Singapore and New Zealand share similar perspectives on it. We need stronger cooperation amongst countries to protect the most vulnerable peoples and places on our planet. At the same time, we see opportunities for practical collaboration as we adopt low carbon and green technologies. This new pillar of cooperation reflects our shared commitment to implement the Paris Agreement and work together to seize growth opportunities in the green economy. For a start, we will cooperate on areas like energy transition technology, carbon markets, sustainable transport, and waste management. I also discussed with Prime Minister Ardern regional and international developments. We agreed on the importance of an open and inclusive regional architecture that supports ASEAN centrality. We are both staunch supporters of international law and the principles enshrined in the UN Charter. And that's why both Singapore and New Zealand have strongly condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The geopolitical uncertainties, supply chain vulnerabilities, and rising protectionism make it all the more important for countries to work together to find a path forward and identify win-win opportunities. In this endeavor, Singapore and New Zealand are natural partners. So once again, I'm very glad to welcome Prime Minister Ardern and look forward to working with her to further strengthen our excellent relations between Singapore and New Zealand. Thank you.
Thank you, Prime Minister Lee, and kia ora.
Thank you.
It's a delight to be here and to receive such a warm welcome from you and from your team. I'd like to begin by expressing to you, Prime Minister Lee, our appreciation for how New Zealanders resident in Singapore have been so well cared for during COVID-19. I also, on a personal note, wish to thank you for the contact that we have maintained during COVID. I suspect we are both pragmatic people, and that certainly was reflected in a conversation mid-lockdown in 2020, where we talked about how we could support each other's food supply and supply chain issues. That was one of many conversations, and I was grateful for each of them. I also want to acknowledge Singaporeans who have lost friends and family to COVID-19 in the same way that so many have around the world. Prime Minister, in our meeting today, we reflected on the cooperation that has occurred during the past 2 years between our two countries. They say that during tough times, you're reminded who your friends are, and it is clear that Singapore is a very close friend of Aotearoa New Zealand. It's hard to believe that, as you reflected, it was 3 years since I was here to sign the Enhanced Partnership, a strategic agreement between New Zealand and Singapore. And it was pleasing today to note the ongoing cooperation between Singapore and New Zealand across so many fields since we last met, including valuable discussions between our health, border, transport and other officials on COVID-19. Yet given the existential threat posed by climate change, it is fitting that today we agreed a joint statement that adds a fifth pillar to the enhanced partnership. Under this pillar, New Zealand and Singapore will collaborate on a range of areas, from low carbon technology to sustainable aviation. Initiatives include a joint research project on low carbon technology, ongoing cooperation on hydrogen standards and information exchanges on themes such as low emissions vehicles and low carbon shipping. We look forward to the shared insights gained from these initiatives. As I said before, we cannot collectively simply return to a high carbon emissions business as usual approach. Globally, we have entered what must be an age of action, and that includes the private sector as well. No government can do this alone. It takes a strong joint effort, and I know the business delegation that is travelling with me agrees on this. I believe this collaboration with Singapore will contribute to the transition to low carbon economies that needs to take place in coming years as both countries work to meet Paris Agreement commitments. We have consciously travelled to Singapore with a delegation of New Zealand business leaders, and that's in part because there is also considerable scope for our companies to partner together on sustainability initiatives and in other areas such as digital, agri-food, healthcare and tourism. As I've met and talked with our travelling party, it's been exciting to hear the existing work and partnerships they have in Singapore, but also the potential. New Zealand and Singapore are close and natural partners on trade. We both remain committed to free and open rules-based trade and investment. Today we discussed our shared determination to strengthen some of their trading architecture. We also discussed opportunities for our countries to work together. We experienced the impacts of supply chain issues across COVID-19, but there are also opportunities for our businesses to partner in delivering exports and services into South and Southeast Asia in coming decades. I'm pleased that today our officials will officially begin work on supply chain dialogue to support increased supply chain cooperation. This is especially important at a time like this with global uncertainty around COVID and Ukraine. We also reflected on the reopening of each country's respective borders to each other. New Zealanders can now visit Singapore quarantine free, while Singaporeans will be able to visit New Zealand from the beginning of May. We look forward to welcoming our Singaporean friends back to New Zealand, be it for tourism, education or business. Prime Minister, of course, you would be very welcome to visit New Zealand. We would love to reciprocate the warmth and hospitality you have shown us. On defence and security, we discuss the excellent cooperation that has occurred between New Zealand and Singapore. Our respective defence forces do much together, including under the five-power defence arrangements. With the reopening of borders, we do also look forward to the Singaporean Armed Forces returning to Wairau for their artillery exercises. Prime Minister Lee and I also had the opportunity to discuss regional and global issues of concern, including, of course, the conflict in Ukraine. It is clear that the world is changing and that events such as the crisis in Ukraine are putting considerable pressure on the international rules-based order. New Zealand has always been a staunch supporter of the international rule of law and the UN Charter. Disputes must be solved through dialogue and not intimidation or coercion. We look forward to continuing to work with like-minded countries such as Singapore to support the resolution of such conflicts through peaceful means, including conflicts and issues such as those we see in Myanmar in our region also. Prime Minister Lee, let me conclude by emphasising that in a fast-changing world, New Zealand and Singapore are stronger through working together. Together, there is much that we can do to support the prosperity of all our peoples, to enhance and protect our countries, and to ensure our businesses have the best chance to prosper for the benefit of all our people. Thank you again for having us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Excellencies. We'll now take a few questions from the media. The first question from Singapore Media, please. The mic's coming to you.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Haziq here from CNN in Singapore. I would just like to ask regarding the new area of cooperation in climate change and the green economy, what are the key benefits of the two countries working together on this issue, and could we get a bit more sense on how this partnership will materialise to yield tangible results? Thank you.
Well, we've already been working quite closely together in this area, and the new pillar will enhance this cooperation, because it will facilitate regular exchanges of information and help us to pave the way to low carbon and sustainability solutions. And hopefully these are ideas which can be a pathfinder for other countries. Specific initiatives would include knowledge sharing dialogues on waste management and technology, jointly organized capacity building workshops for ASEAN member states to strengthen the region's capabilities in carbon pricing and carbon markets. And we'll also be signing an MOU on sustainable aviation, which will deepen information exchange on sustainable aviation, such as sustainable aviation fuels and hydrogen, and promote the adoption of sustainable aviation initiatives, which will contribute to efforts to decarbonize the aviation sector, and conduct feasibility and pilot trials for the deployment of low and zero emission fuel solutions. The context for this is that aviation is one of the major sources of carbon emissions, aviation, flying, jet fuel. And New Zealand is at the end of the world, and Singapore is not so close to Europe either. So for long journeys, the carbon emissions on aviation are a significant consideration. And if we are going to go for a low carbon world, this is something which countries will be focused on. And if we don't have a good solution to it, it will put us, Singapore, to some extent, New Zealand, also at a disadvantage. And therefore, we have an interest in working together on it.
Thank you, Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister has covered off so many of the tangibles that we expect as a result of this collaboration. I think when it comes to climate change, this is not an area where countries are seeking to be competitive. Or we shouldn't be seeking to be competitive, unless, of course, the competition is who can reduce the emissions the fastest. This is an area where we need to collaborate to share new technologies, IP that has a tangible impact on reducing our respective emissions and getting to the goal we all need to reach faster. The Prime Minister has covered off some of the specifics within the agreement, but I'll just draw on two. Sustainable aviation is one critical area for us, obviously, as being a small island nation, but one that equally derives 5% of our GDP from tourism, for instance. Finding sustainable ways that individuals can still travel and enjoy our landscapes are important to us. But the two I wanted to draw on are actually around shipping and food. New Zealand is reliant on being part of an integrated supply chain network that is trying to reduce its emissions profile, and that includes in shipping. Singapore has 20% of our imports, exports travelling through it, and 25% of our imports. You are a hub, and you only need to see that from those aerial shots as you enter just how busy your ports are. This makes perfect sense for us to work together to look at low emissions options for shipping, the way that we can integrate hydrogen as an option and other fuel alternatives. A second area is food. We are a major food producer, and Singapore, of course, although I know you have ambitions to reduce down the amount of importation of food, this is an area where we can work together. Our food research institutes are looking at ways in urban environments where we can create almost urban growth systems that allow much more sustainable options where people are less reliant on external sources. So urban farms, it's an area we're doing research, and where in Singapore there is need and interest and a great way for us to partner. So those are just a couple of examples.
Thank you. Next question from the New Zealand media.
Emily Wade from News Hub. Thank you. Emily Wade from News Hub. Did China's increasing influence in the Pacific come up during your discussion?
Sorry, today? I didn't catch that.
Did China's increasing influence in the Pacific come up during your discussion today? And how are you each raising with China about its relationship with Russia?
Would you like to lead off?
Most certainly. Of course, in almost every bilateral that New Zealand has, we'll reflect on our region, changes in our region, and the important relationships that exist in our region. When it comes to the engagement of China on the conflict and war in Ukraine, from New Zealand's perspective, we keep sending the same message. What is happening in Ukraine is an assault on a country's sovereignty and their territorial integrity. And you'll find countries like China referencing that as and raising that as an issue. And so we continue to encourage at every level China to continue to acknowledge what the Ukraine conflict represents for the world.
Well, we did discuss developments in the Pacific region and particularly China's growing interest in the region. Singapore has long-standing and warm relations with the South Pacific. We are fellow small island states. We share many common interests and concerns like climate change. And it's in the interest of all of the countries to have a stable, peaceful and prosperous South Pacific. And Singapore will continue to do our part to support this through capacity building efforts. We have good cooperation with all of the South Pacific countries. We are not familiar with the details of the agreement, which has been reported in the Solomon Islands and China, so we're not able to comment upon that. But on China and Russia, we did have a discussion. We do watch the situation in Ukraine and how that will impact China-Russia relations and therefore China-US relations. And we both have a vested interest in China-US relations being stable and not being complicated or further sharpened in terms of the hostility or the lack of trust on both sides. And we hope that wisdom will prevail and Ukraine will not make things more complicated. Mm.
Thank you. The next question from New Zealand media.
Kia ora, Prime Minister. My name's Jessica Mitch-Mackay. I'm from Television New Zealand. This is a question for both Prime Ministers, but perhaps first to Prime Minister Lee. What is your country prepared to compromise on to get the US to rejoin the CPTPP? And how important is its participation?
I don't think the US is asking us to make any compromise in order to join the CPTPP. We would dearly love to see them come back. But they have told us quite clearly it's nothing to do with us, it's just off the table because their politics does not make it possible at present. And meanwhile, they wish to remain engaged in the region by whatever means are feasible politically, but which will demonstrate their continuing commitment to the Asia-Pacific and their stake here. And they have been talking about the idea of an Indo-Pacific economic framework, and we've said, well, we support that, because we believe it is good for you to continue to be present in this region, and we hope that we'll be able to put as much substance as possible on that Indo-Pacific economic framework. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
Obviously, we have an existing framework, an existing agreement in the CPTPP, one that New Zealand and others worked very hard to negotiate, a very high set of standards, and of course, Singapore, as early architects of the agreement, would attest to that also. But of course, again, domestic considerations mean that the CPTPP is not the most realistic option for the United States. That does not mean there is no option. And it's our job to make sure that we're continuing to engage and offering up those opportunities where the United States can demonstrate an engagement in the economic architecture and the economic well-being of this region. And we'll continue to work together quite hard on that. Thank
you. The last question from Singapore Media, please.
Hi, good afternoon to both Prime Ministers. I'm Yan Han from the Straits Times. So earlier, Prime Minister Lee, you mentioned about the other countries who are keen to join the Digital Economy Partnership Agreement. Could you share a bit more about the timeline and progress on these applications, as well as Singapore's position on these other countries joining the agreement? Thank you.
Well, we welcome the applications to join the DEPA. The ROK has applied, Korea and also China. The DEPA is designed to be an open and inclusive plurilateral digital agreement. That means more than two partners, but fewer than everybody. We welcome the interest and participation of economies which can commit to all of the DEPA provisions and collaborate in these areas to advance a global digital economy. It's a pathfinder agreement, so there will be some level of experimentation with like-minded partners, and I hope that the aspirant economies can embrace this spirit of exploration and identify projects of mutual interest to pursue under the DEPA. I can't say about the timing because it will depend on how the discussions go and what are the issues which come up, but ideally, of course, you would like the new participants to sign on to everything which is already in the DEPA rather than having to make compromises in order to widen the participation.
Thank you.
I think you've covered everything.
Thank you, Excellencies. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the joint press conference. The Prime Ministers will now take their...
Thank you.